Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Monday Night Raw with your Sunday Morning Breakfast family. This is a time where we gather together and recap the previous week, where we have been talking about what's in your DNA. So make sure tonight that you speak up. Don't sit back. If you have a question, don't sit back and hold on to your testimony. Make sure that you speak up. At any point within the call, simply press star 5. So with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome in our leader, Mr. Tullius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Candy.
And how are you this evening?
Doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I'm right there with you, sir.
Good deal, good deal. Well, I want to go ahead and open this up with prayer, if you don't mind, because we want to go ahead and get started, you know, with our Monday Night Raw. So if you don't mind, go ahead and open this up with prayer, please.
Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord, for seeing us all through our day today, Lord, for keeping your hand of protection on us as we were traveling to and fro, Lord. Lord, we thank you for giving us that unction to continue to gather amongst the saints to share in your word, Lord. And we thank you in advance for all that you are going to deposit into us tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray that everyone here is open to your voice, Lord, and that we all walk away receiving of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Now, with that being said, we're going to get started on our Monday Night Raw, the SMB Learning Center. It's very imperative, I promise you guys, that we really hone in to the things that transpire, not just on our learning calls, but in and throughout life. I do, Ms. Candy, I do encourage everybody to pay very close attention to the life that you're not only living, the life that you're living, but also pay close attention to the things that are going on around you. The reason why I say that is because if we're not careful, we can slide into doing or being something that God did not create us to do or be. Okay? And over a period of time, much like habits are formed, those habits, that way of living, it becomes a lifestyle. It overtakes us. It consumes us. Okay? This is why it is very important as we capture this topic, what's in your DNA, that we go beyond the stretch of the imagination to where, you know, oh, it was just a good topic, it was a good, you know, great messages or whatnot, but you have to tap into this well of life, this well of influence, this well of knowledge that God pours out upon us. We have to. The reason why I say that is because, you know, Ms. Candy, a couple of weeks ago, you know, when we talked about Jesus healing this lady on the Sabbath, and you know, the pastor of that church, the head of the church, became angry.
Mm-hmm.
But this lady went to that church for years, y'all. Years and years. And routinely, she did it out of routine. You remember that one, Ms. Candy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The thing about it is, nothing ever changed. She still was slumped over. Naturally, spiritually, she was jacked up too. See, the thing is, if we have the DNA of God, it is impossible for us to be spiritually slumped over.
Amen.
In a spiritual rut. If we have the DNA of God, y'all will soon find out that sometimes things just come to you and you don't know why it came. It's this unction in you that just draws you closer to righteousness and pulls you away from unrighteous things.
Yes, sir.
Okay? This is the DNA of God. People can talk good. People can look good. And that can infatuate you. Okay? That is not what God's DNA is all about. Do understand that they had people who spoke eloquently, more prosperously than Jesus. But the DNA of those who actually evolved and revolved around God they recognized who Jesus was. Many didn't. Majority didn't. This is why I urge everybody to not play with God. Now, you might say you're not playing with God, but what I mean by not play with God, I mean that we don't pretend that outwardly we have the inwardly DNA that God suggests, because God will put you to the test.
Yes, sir.
And this is why so often, y'all, I need y'all to know this, you know, we have, you know, a lot of callers that call in, Miss Candy, but even as the years have progressed, even now, you know, we used to have like 70 people that called in, y'all, 70. Now we flirt around at, you know, that 40-ish mark, but that's good. That's actually great. I'm going to tell you why. Y'all heard of Gideon in the army?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In other words, God will prune. Y'all got to hear me. And this is no knock on nobody, but I'm telling you the truth. How many people actually like to hear the truth? Let me rephrase that. How many people like to hear the truth when it's talking about everybody else? We all raise our hand.
Mm-hmm.
How many people like to hear the truth when it's reflected upon you?
No.
Huh? Y'all see that? Y'all see the difference?
Yes, sir.
The Bible clearly pushes it out. He clearly says it. That in the last days, people will be self-centered. In other words, I paraphrase that. God said in the last days that people will become lovers of themselves. Well, it is impossible for you to love yourself and God at the same time. That's not the DNA that we speak of.
Amen.
It is impossible. Okay? Anybody that tells you that they're differently, we can speak. We can have a very mature conversation, but let's keep God involved in it. And let's not get emotional. We can speak on it. Huh? Because as soon as you start loving yourself first, or as soon as you start loving yourself and God, what's going to happen is ourselves, less than perfect, we're going to start doing some less than perfect things. Because you know what you love is what you give credence to. You let it have its way.
Yes, sir.
This is why we in God one day and we out of God the next day, because we love him and we obey him one day, but then the next day we love ourselves and we obey it. Well, that's some messed up genetics, don't you think? A double-minded man is unstable in all thine ways. That's not the DNA of God. Show me where God is unstable. God doesn't have two minds. He has one. The reason why I say this is because many times throughout life, you will see, as we talked about last night, the confidants, the constituents, and the comrades. But not only will you see it outwardly, DNA-wise, you will see it within yourself. If you evaluate your whole life, you will see where you have fallen short of the glory and of being a comrade to God.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the time, we have been constituents. In other words, I'm only for what he's for, as long as it benefits me.
Right.
But God can verify. I'm telling you, God searching those who have the DNA of confidant, who he can talk to, who he can share everything with. That we, remember that a confidant makes sure that you reach your goal. So we would make sure, Lord, y'all don't hear me. We would make sure that God's word is fulfilled.
Yes.
See, we got this little thing where everybody always talk about. That's why I don't dive into that foolishness, Miss Candy. And see, I know I say stuff that make people pull back, but that's okay, because the stuff that I do say comes from the word of God, simply because the Bible says that his word will draw you or it will drive you. The very people that pull away from this, they can't never say nothing crazy about it. And if they have, or if they can, talk to me. If you had a problem with anything I say, because I would take it to the scripture. And is that not up to my interpretation?
Amen.
But see, when we have good DNA, we like to talk things out to get better clarity. When we have bad DNA, we leave things unfinished because we know we have grounds to leave in the first place. It's real, huh? But God is looking for that confidant who's willing to make sure that his word fulfills itself. Remember, the Bible says his word does not return unto him void. Look at that confidant. If we are the word of God, if we are God's DNA, if we are his bloodline, we have his genetic makeup, how then can we return to him unfulfilled?
That's it.
Huh? The popular thing is to do, girl, if they ain't benefiting you and ain't in your life, man, if they ain't helping you out, see, that's the popular thing. The godly thing is, are you helping them? You can't help nobody because you are not used to helping people simply because you are not used to serving God. How can you serve people yet don't serve God? See, the reason why we have a problem helping people is because we hadn't learned at home first, meaning we hadn't learned it with God. If it was in our DNA, come on, y'all. If it was in our DNA, come on, y'all. You know how your mom and daddy taught you? They made you get up and clean up. They made you wash dishes. You ain't use no dishwasher. Yeah. Because it's all in your DNA. And now that you're grown, that DNA has matured. That's why the Bible said, train up a child in the way y'all know the rest, and they would not depart from it. Hmm. What's in your DNA again?
Right.
Hmm? Who you learn self-serving from? They should be catering to you. Who you learn that from? Who house you was raised in? Because ain't nothing in God's house said people should cater to you. I thought that the Bible says, I know that the Bible says, I'm for sure that the Bible says, what's in your DNA? The greatest amongst you are those who serve.
Amen.
But see, we got it twisted because we take on the DNA of the world, and the world says those who are served are great. Well, who the liar and who the truth teller? Well, I love this. I love it. I love it. Because the Bible says anything that tries to exalt itself against the word of God, tear down. Because the DNA, the blood, conquers it all. So who wants to challenge that? Because in the world, those with the worldly DNA says, I'm great when people serve me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But God says you are great when you serve others. So since God is perfect, who's the liar? I'm asking a question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Carr, I ain't meaning like that. What did you mean in life? Because, see, we play with that DNA so much. See, when you play with the world's DNA, the world's blood so much, it will spill on you. In other words, play with fire, you will get burnt, and it will overtake you.
Yes, sir.
You so used to getting served. See, promotion in the world, because the world's DNA goes like this. The higher I get promoted, the less I have to work. But God's promotion go like this. To whom much is given, much is required, translated. The higher I get promoted, the more I got to work.
Mm-hmm.
Stop playing with God. Because, see, we take the world DNA and bring it to a godless system, and it's all jacked up. I want promotion, God. No, you don't. Because if you really want a promotion, you will find yourself at the feet of other people, cleaning it, washing it, making sure they're good. Do you really want that promotion? And if you think I'm lying, who was greater than Jesus? And what was his DNA bloodline, Miss Candy? All he did was serve. He served so much that he got on cross to serve. You really want to be promoted, huh? See, people be saying, oh, I got to rethink this heaven thing. Why?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to rethink it. If it's in your DNA, you already know. You know what time it is. You knew what it was about when you signed up for it. Boy, this is good because God will expose some stuff. God won't fire you. God will make you fire yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all done heard that in the world, huh? So you should be acclimated with it. You know when people say, I ain't fired, you fired yourself? Okay. What's in your DNA? Y'all know it's Monday Night Raw, and y'all know what time it is, and we always have with us Mr. DJ. How you doing, Mr. DJ?
I'm very, 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 very happy.
Are you very, very
happy? Yes, sir. One more win.
You tell everybody why you're happy.
One more win, we go to the Super Bowl.
Y'all, if y'all don't know, Mr. DJ represents the who?
Atlanta Falcons. Falcons playing in the NFC Championship.
Mr. DJ, I don't want to start nothing on this phone tonight. I mean, we're trying to keep it calm, but I do know there's a couple of Dallas Cowboy fans that can't say the same thing.
My condolences.
Moving on. What goes on tonight with he got me messed up. With Mr. DJ, we have Miss Artita. Miss Artita Green. She's going to be joining you tonight. Miss Artita, how are you this evening? You okay over there, Miss Artita?
I'm here.
Okay. I was about to say, you're not a Cowboy fan, huh?
Not at all.
Okay. I'm not going to rag him. I'm not. But I do want to send a special shout-out to Miss Brandy Manuel, because she has been ragging me the whole year about the Cowboys and the Saints, y'all, so we can have fun, too. Okay? So, Miss Brandy, she can go ahead and sit on the couch with me, because we both can be watching the game, baby. Seriously. Miss Candy, that's what I said, because I really, 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 you know, enjoyed the game last night, and football is a great sport. But we both can be sitting at home watching the Super Bowl while other teams play, Miss Brandy.
Yes, sir.
And don't say misery loves company. Y'all, let's go ahead and get started. Miss Candy, you ready?
Yes, sir. We already have a caller with a raised hand.
Okay. Well, y'all already know how we do it. We have our email questions, our call-in questions, and testimonials. So we're going to go ahead and get started with that first caller.
All right, good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for the evening.
Good evening, everyone. The question that I have is this. It states, my husband and I adopted our daughter at the age of 13, who is now 15. Even though we have poured into her spiritually and exposed her to the Word, she continues to get into trouble at school and is always acting out at home. How do we go forward in helping her to display godly character and live according to God's standards?
All right. And Ms. Artita, I'm going to start with you.
Well, I think they should continue to actually show her that character by them actually living that character. The one thing that we often try to do is we try to make people actually have that actually act out in that character. The only thing that we can actually do is give them God's word, continue to pray that they actually get that word deep inside, and then we just plant that seed and we allow them to actually activate it, because we can't actually live that life for them. We have to allow the Holy Spirit. It's in us all, but we have to allow it to be activated, and only that person can decide to follow God's character.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What you have for us, Mr. DJ?
I want them to repeat the second part of that question again.
Okay. Carla, you mind repeating the question, please?
Not at all. The second part says, how do we go forward in helping her to display godly character and live according to God's standards?
Okay. First of all, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said they've only had her for 2 years. When you're just being introduced to God, assuming you said that this person was adopted, assuming that you didn't have any responsibilities in planting that seed from birth, you're just planting the seed at the age of 13, and she's now 15. Think back to when you were just planted. It didn't take you 2 years and all of a sudden you're a full tree. You have to continue working at it, nurturing it, growing it. Let her know, even though you're adopted, we're still related as brothers and sisters in Christ. That same DNA is flowing through you as well as me. And I'm of the old school where we know how, show how. I don't want to tell a kid, do something, do as I say, not as I do. That's not me. That's just me personally. So I would continue to be the example and let them know, hey, I'm right here with you. I'm not telling you to go to church. I'm bringing you to church. I'm not telling you to read the Bible. Let us go sit down and read together or pray or study together. So what I'm saying is you have to continue working at it, pray for patience, and just stay on the path. And don't let our hand go. You know, continue the same way it took to get you there. Some of us, we still ain't there. So I know 2 years, especially as a teenager, oh, no. So just, you know, pray for that patience and stay steady on the path.
Man, that's powerful answers, both of those. Man, Ms. Candy, that's good.
I know. I just, amen.
That's good, both of them. I'm serious. You know, and that's not an applaud to their intelligence. That's an applaud to the DNA that flows. Seriously, you got to get excited about that. Great question, great answers. I will add this to what Mr. DJ said. He said, don't tell them to go, bring them. Woo! Boy, it's nothing like an example setter.
That's right.
That's why it's nothing like Jesus. He was the example setter. Can I share with y'all a scripture? I'm glad y'all said, yeah, okay. Ephesians 1 and 5. Write it down. Ephesians 1 and 5. Ephesians 1 and 5. Okay. It said, God decided in advance to adopt us. Look at that word, adopt. Yes. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us, Mr. DJ, you just hit on something. By bringing us to himself. See how the word of God flow? Mr. DJ didn't even know that was in that scripture.
Sure did.
But when the DNA flows through you, somebody ain't doing that talking. Somebody be you. Y'all can take it lightly if you want to, but that's impossible for DNA not to match. If it matches up, it got to come from one place. Huh?
Sure.
The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Huh? In other words, he was the example to bring us to a higher place in him. In other words, God got on our level. In other words, somebody was adopted. Their child was adopted. You got on that child's level, and you brought that child somewhere where they needed to go.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That's what Jesus, that's what God did for us. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Y'all see that? If God had to adopt us, don't get it twisted and think that I just got God in me. I know I'm godly. In other words, y'all, the Bible says we was formed in iniquity. We was created in the image of God. We was created in his image. But we was born into sin. So somebody had to come and adopt us. See, in other words, genetically, we got sin all through us. Uh-oh. But here's the deal. When you have been adopted, Ms. Ortiz, Mr. DJ, when you've been adopted, do you revert back to your old parents' ways or to your new ones?
Your new ones.
Huh? But y'all do know that some people go back to the old ones because the new parents are strict. Y'all can stop me when I'm lying. Because that's when they start saying, they start getting older, you know. You're not my mama. You're not my daddy.
Right.
See? So when they adopted, you got to be careful. It's just like adopting a pit bull that's 3 years old. You got some work to do. It's not impossible, but you do have some work to do. But if God can adopt old sinful us, and we way older than three, I mean, I'm about 21, I don't know about y'all, but we are way older than three, and we set in our ways, and God can still adopt us and change us, that means he also empowers us with the same DNA. Not that we can change others, but let him do the changing. So although that person has been adopted, there's still hope. The hope is that you was adopted too, so you got all the answers already. If you done been through it already, you don't think that you can tell the adopted child that you just adopted?
Hmm.
Gonna be done? If I done put together a piece of equipment already from Walmart, you don't think I know how to tell Mr. DJ how to help him put his together when I done did it already? Y'all got it?
Okay.
Good deal.
Mr. Carr, can I add something?
Please do. Please do.
Also, it's another, that's not the end of the story, because when you already know, in the band world, when you play an instrument, most directors like somebody to teach somebody that does not know how to play. Reason being is because they're new. They're going to pay attention and absorb everything you're saying like a sponge.
Uh-huh.
To the people who've already played, you got to almost argue with them to convince them that they're playing something incorrect or to take them to a new level. In other words, the only way you're going to reach them at their respect is to pick up the horn and outplay them. Any man, and the phrase in band is any man that can outthink you or any man that can outplay you, being male or female, is your master. In other words, you aspire to be like them. Anybody on this phone knows how to play an instrument, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know when someone is better than you. You can play real good, but you know when someone is better than you. Same way in training. If I'm an athlete and I went to the NFL and I've done things on my own, then why would I go to Mr. Carr and say, please train me?
Uh-huh.
In order for me to get something out of it, I have to humble myself
uh-huh.
and yield. And just as well, in the Bible, we have plenty of people who, you know, quote unquote, know everything there is to know about Christ. They're called Sadducees and Pharisees. They know more than Jesus about his own daddy, about him. But yet they were trying to, you know, it's easier for a person like the thief on the cross, somebody that came bare, just bare, to humble themselves and yield, than for someone, like you said, that we can't really tell anything to,
uh-huh.
you know. So, but I'm just saying, respect. Respect is what the bottom line boils down to. And when you're dealing with us and the DNA, sometimes we as parents have to show your kid, no, that's not how you do that, or this is why you don't do that. The days in old school used to be because I said so. That was the end of the conversation right there.
Uh-huh.
I remember saying, how come, but why? I got one answer, because I said so. But
uh-huh.
that's the way I look at it with God, because he said so. That's it.
That's what it
that's
is.
That's the end
bro.
Of it right there.
That's
and that's
it.
And that's how you have to approach that when dealing with those rules, whether you're adopted or just a newfound Christian,
uh-huh.
a new person. You know, I'm just saying, you know, certain things you have to also talk about, not so much prosperity, but discipline. Discipline and respect, along with your faith.
All right. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. Old things have passed away. Old ways have passed away. Old DNA has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's very important, and I tell people that even with training, Miss Artita, it's very important. It's very primary, even with, you know, adoption, caller. Old ways, those old things that you used to do. See, that old training you used to do, whatever you heard when you walk in this gym, forget about everything that you know.
There you go.
Because if not, there's going to be a conflict. You're going to always challenge me. And too many challenges, that's called a door right there with that red sign that said EXIT. You will take it.
Exactly.
That is not a joke. And if you think I'm lying, try it with God. Keep on challenging God. And he adopted you. Watch what happens. Because if he tells you to cast anything that tries to exalt itself up, in other words, you're trying to raise your chest up against God? You're trying to challenge his DNA? If he tells us to cast it down, What you think he do? Now, God wouldn't tell us to do something that he don't do. Okay, the final cast down is just hell. The temporary one, he'll shut you down here. Okay. Paula, did that help you out?
Yes, sir, it did. Thank you.
But not a problem, not a problem. All right, let's get to the next one. Miss Candy, I'm going to get to your email question. What you got, Miss Candy?
Question is, if I backslide, does that mean that God is no longer in me or that he's there and I allowed the ways of the world to control me just for that time?
Mr. DJ?
The second one. He's in you and you allowed the world to consume you at that time. You're still a child of God. I always tell people, just because you sin does not make you a sinner. A sinner is a person that practices sin.
Mm-hmm.
When you sin, you repent. That doesn't make you a sinner. There's a big difference. That's like a person who tells a lie and then a liar. A liar is a person that's all they do. They can tell you good morning. You're going to look outside just to make sure it's morning time because they don't do nothing but lie.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you could tell a lie and not even know it. Or didn't mean to do it. Same way with sin. There are some sins out there, you don't automatically just say, you know what, I'm getting ready to sin now. But for those of us that study the word, 9 times out of 10, we gonna know. We gonna know. I could have just saw Mr. Carr outside and somebody said, hey, is Mr. Carr outside? I said, yes. But I didn't see him come in. Did I tell a lie? And when I said that he was outside, yes. First thing I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I didn't see him come in. Please forgive me. So what I'm saying is, yes, you allowed the world, yes, your DNA, to answer the question, yes, the DNA is still in you. If you're his, if you are his child, yes. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. Ms. Artita, what you got?
I have to agree with Mr. DJ. The thing is we have to remember that God is always with us. I mean, the Bible tells us in Psalms 27 that God is always with us. So even in sin, he's still there. You just have put him back on the background. You know, like Miss Candy was saying, on Wednesday's call, she was talking about the dominant gene and the recessive gene. You've just allowed your flesh to become dominant over God at that moment. But he's the dominant factor. His DNA is dominant at all times, but you've refused to be recessive.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, God is still with you, and all you have to do is go back to that. I mean, ask for forgiveness, repent, and go, you know, turn back to God.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we don't have to sin, but we all do sin.
Uh-huh.
That does not mean that he has left you.
Right. Good deal, good deal. Okay. Great answers, and that's what it is. All right, y'all. Here we go. Next email question, I'm going to start with you, Ms. Artita.
Okay.
Here's the question. It says, out of the three types of individuals that were talked about on last night's call, is it safe to say that confidants are the only group that are characterized by integrity while the other two are not?
No. I'm going to say no to that. I mean, because you can, as a constituent, you can have integrity, just what does your integrity lie in? So, I mean, a confidence integrity is in God, because they're not those materialistic people. They don't want people for what they have. They're not people who want things of the world. you know, they're looking for that they're looking for either that person or they're looking for God. You know, they're looking for what's within, the character that's within. You know, a constituent can have integrity in the group that they're actually, that they're for.
Gotcha.
But that does not mean that they have spiritual integrity.
Gotcha. Okay. What about you, Mr. DJ?
Can you give me those three again? Constituent,
confidant,
and comrades. And repeat your question.
Okay. The question says, out of the three types of individuals that were talked about on last night's call, is it safe to say that confidants are the only group that are characterized by integrity, while the other two are not?
I agree with her. The answer is no, they're not the only ones.
Huh?
Yeah, they're not the only ones. Your integrity, first of all, integrity should come into play in any type of person that you're dealing with, including yourself. Integrity precedes character. And character is what you do when no one else is around.
Uh-huh.
That's a short definition for people. My definition, let me say it like that. Let me not say that. That's my short definition.
Okay.
So what you're willing to do when no one else is around will really amaze people. I don't care if you're a preacher, a wife, a husband, a friend, a pal, you know, even an enemy. You know, so no, that doesn't escape everybody else except for that one person. That goes for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ms. Candy, what you got to say about the question?
Well, I like the way that Ms. Artita answered it, specifying that, you know, confident is the one who has integrity that's based in God. But I want to go a little further and say that truly that's what integrity has to be across the board. Like, we will give it different levels because we look at it from a worldly sense and say, you know, this person might have integrity in this situation or that situation. But if we wanted to strip it down and be pure, then it would need to be that our integrity is placed in God. If we thought about what integrity really means, because the constituent might be all about this one thing, because remember, they're not all about you. They're about whatever it is that the cause is that's going to benefit them. And then with the comrade, they really are not for you. They just want to be there to oppose you. But how can we find integrity inside of those things? Again, if you look at it the way that man says it, we can find integrity in anything. But if we are looking at it with our spiritual lens, then it would only be found in the confident, because that's the only one that has the root and basis in God.
Great synopsis and great answers from Ms. Artita and Mr. DJ. Y'all, check this out. Anybody ever made love? We got adults on the phone right here. Anybody ever made love outside of marriage? Now, don't give me y'all spiritually correct answers. Give me y'all everyday answers. Oh, y'all know those two different answers, huh?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Somebody rubbing on their stomach, oh, shoot, you right. Hmm? Come on. You ever made love outside of marriage? Now, spiritually, you know that's impossible. Because to make love suggests that you're making God happen by the union. Uh-oh. Because God is love.
That's right.
But here we go. Here go out with different definitions. Well, Mr. Carl, you know that's a different love that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay. You see that? Yeah? Anybody ever criticize anybody in the South? Y'all know how we say we make grocery? How can you make grocery?
Exactly.
Y'all criticize?
Yes.
You do make grocery. You don't just go to the store, you buy a Snicker. That's not grocery. Grocery combines items. But I'm not going to debate that point. But check this out. The reason why I brought that up, If you can't make grocery, then tell me how you make money. I'm going to wait on it. They trying to go Google something right quick.
Mm-mm. I'm talking about you. You don't want it.
Well, I like brain exercises, Mr. DJ and Ms. Ortiz.
Hey.
Integrity. In other words, let me show you two different answers. From the worldview, according to the question, confidant, constituent, and comrades, do you not understand that all three can have integrity, according to the world? Y'all, let me show you what I mean by that. Because integrity, according to the world, sounds something like this, Miss Artita. I mean, I know we dating, but at least I told you the truth that I was married. I have integrity. Huh? Hold on, y'all know I ain't lying, because what do people say? At least I told the truth. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Come on, anybody ever heard that? When somebody do wrong, they say, at least I told you the truth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So therefore, a comrade can have integrity and tell you that I'm not for you. I just don't like the person you don't like either. But I ain't for you. The constituent can tell you, I'm not for you, but I like what you're about. You helping the kids. I like that. You know how many people marry their constituent instead of their confidant? Let me say this again. I'm not offending nobody, right? What's in your DNA? You know how many people marry their constituent instead of their confidant? If you married your confidant, why then so many marriages do not even talk about I can confide in my spouse? Why is your spouse not your best friend? Uh-oh. I ain't hitting below the belt. A lot of people marry their constituents. In other words, you work, I work. We both bought their grind. We bought their money, Ms. Artita. But as soon as somebody stop working, somebody about to get divorced. The constituent. Oh! Y'all didn't see that one coming, huh?
Huh?
And then you would say they have no integrity. You would say they have no integrity, but to them they have all the integrity because they didn't marry you for you. They married you because of what you two was accomplishing together. Now when you're no longer accomplishing that goal, they got to replace you with somebody who can. Y'all see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
A constituent who's receiving the short end of the stick will say that is not integrity. But the other one will say that is integrity. You didn't hold up your end of the agreement. So you don't have integrity. See the ongoing debate? Hmm? Y'all do know this happens in marriage a lot. This is why a lot of times people sleep around to other people because you are their constituent. In other words, somebody has better bedroom skills than you or something that they want that you didn't provide, and therefore they step. I'm going to wait on it. People don't like to hear the truth, huh? Oh, that DNA is something. But see, a confidant. The real integrity, a confidant, is truly the only one that has integrity because integrity is evolved and revolved around God. You see? In other words, you can tell someone the truth, but that truth can be a whole lie. There's no integrity in that. In other words, you can tell a lie without even opening your mouth. There's no integrity. Telling a lie without opening your mouth suggests that you're writing your life on this canvas called Earth. And you're telling people a lie, but you're saying that I represent God. No integrity in that. A confidant is the only one that has integrity. But because if your integrity does not line up with God, then your integrity is wrongly defined.
Amen.
God doesn't want to be your constituent. Neither does he want to be your comrade. God wants to be your confidant. But the thing is, God wants you to want him to be your confidant. All right. All right. Do we have any other callers, Miss Candy?
Not at this time, sir.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and close it right there, y'all. confidants, constituents, comrades? What's in your DNA? Ms. Ortiz, I'm going to let you give the week synopsis, and then I'm going to go to Mr. DJ. So give us in, 2 minutes, Ms. Ortiz. Tell me about your week with this topic. What's in your DNA?
Well, first we learned, as I was saying when answering one of the questions, that that the gene that we have, that's first of all, DNA. DNA, I learned, was deoxyribonucleic acid. Long word. And that DNA is pretty much just your genetics. It's the makeup of your genetics, and we have to understand that God is our dominant gene, and that his DNA should be overall our DNA. You know, if we come from him, then we should possess that same character that he does. We have to understand that during our sin, it separates us from God if we're not possessing that same DNA, and there's no way to possess that if we're living in sin. We have to actually follow his law. We learned that your DNA actually, your DNA from the world is negative. You have that negative DNA, you know, with the jealousy and the hatred and the things of that nature, and that we have to actually seek God in order to be able to live as he would like us to live. Overall, we learned about the confidant, the constituent, and the comrade, the confidant being the person who loves unconditionally. That person, as we were just saying, when you look at a confidant, then they're righteous. They have that integrity of God. The constituent is that person who actually is not always into you. They're into what you're into. They're into the different groups that you're a part of or what you actually stand for. And then you have that person who's the comrade who actually, they're not for you at all. You know, they are only there for one single purpose, and that's just to fulfill what they want for themselves. So we have to actually look within ourselves and try to figure out, you know, which one we are to God. What type of person can he look at us and say that we are? Are we the confidant? Are we for God? Do we love him the way that he loves us? Or are we just there for what he can actually give us? You know, are we there for the fact that we want to go to heaven? Is heaven our goal, or is God our goal? Or are we just not going to be for God at all? Are we going to be for ourselves? Are we going to live life to the fullest for ourselves, following that flesh? And it just pretty much boils down to who you're for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Bartita. That was, that was Ms. Candy, that was 2 minutes in Rome time or something.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I can't talk. I'm not going to be no hypocrite, no, Ms. Artito. I get it wrong 99.9% Okay. So, what's in your DNA? Thank you for that. What's in your DNA? Okay, so when people say they plead the blood of Jesus over you, they're saying they plead the blood of Jesus, which protects, which love covers. In other words, all his characteristics, all his attributes, traits, lineage, okay, who he is, covers you. That's what they're saying. But they plead it over you. They plead the blood of God. Please watch over them. They plead it over you. Plead your case. They state something over you. That's God's DNA, who he is, over you. Mr. DJ, what you got?
I just want to say to God and me, everybody is equipped with God's DNA. All of us in the spirit are brothers and sisters. And some of us you can't recognize. Some of us, you know, like you can have three kids that come from the same parent, and none of them will look like that parent. That don't mean nothing. Then you got some that's the spitting image. That's your twin. What defines you is the character upon what you got from that parent. And God is our Father. We all come equipped with Him, like a new car with a spare tire. All cars come with one, but we don't ever check on that spare tire until we have a flat. Most people, when they get ready to go buy a car, they don't go look in the trunk. They don't even check on that spare tire. Some of us use the spare tire, call on it when we really, 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 really need it. Sound familiar? We'll call on it, get that spare tire out right now, and it helps us get to a place to where we're good, and we throw the spare tire back in the trunk or wherever and keep on going. Some of us do Christ the same way. We don't ever call on Him till we need Him. Once we're down and out, that's when we'll call on Him. Then He get us right, fix us up, and then we don't call on Him no more until we need Him again. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is don't pass judgment on someone. Instead, help them. Help them because that's your brother or because that's your sister. It's easy to fall off. Some easier than others, but that's still your brother. That's still your sister. Pray for them. If you can't do nothing else for them, pray for them. That's all I have.
Okay. All righty then. We're going to go ahead and conclude the call with that, and we're going to pray for Ms. Brandy with the cowboy. We're not going to pass no judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It's been since 95, and they still talking about some rings. Okay.
Wow.
But anyways, y'all, honestly, seriously, what's in your DNA? That's something very close that we should all take a look at. All right. Miss the DJ, would you go ahead and pray for us, please?
Sure. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, we come to you on humbling knees, saying thank you, Jesus. Just thank you for being God. Thank you. Thank you for making us unto your own image. Thank you for bringing us together safely, Father, for weathering storm. And we know that you are in control. A lot of people complaining about 1 week it's snowing, then it's thunder and lightning, and it's a storm, and then it's sunny bright. That just lets us know that you still are on the throne, Father. Father, I would like to say and pray a special blessing over the SMB family as we gather weekly to discuss your word and to help us come together to lift you up, Father, so that we can be better examples and draw men to you, Father, so that we can show them which way to go. Men being men and women, Father, I want to pray another special blessing over us in our daily routines. I pray for our health and our strength and grant us traveling grace and mercy, and something said edifies our soul. In your name, in your son's name, amen.
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 Y'all have a great night. Have a great night, and make sure y'all catch us on Wednesday for Bible study. Thank you, Mr. DJ. Thank you, Ms. Artita. Thank you, Ms. Candy. Y'all have a great night, and we'll see y'all for Bible study on Wednesday.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Mm-hmm.